The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Gemma Cargan is a 25-year-old teacher in Manchester, England. And she lives in Manchester, but her parents are just outside of Belfast in Ireland. And she would, several times a year, she would fly from Manchester to the 300-kilometer trip over to Belfast to visit her parents. And last year, during COVID, she decided to go visit her parents, and she got to the airport, you know, went through the thing to get her boarding pass, got to the gate, and the little electronic notice over the gate wasn't working. But she had done this many times, so she didn't think anything of it and took her boarding pass. They scanned her boarding pass. She got on the plane. She figured, you know, it's a short trip. I'm going to take a quick nap before I get there. She took a quick nap. But when she woke up, she realized something was wrong, because she heard over the announcements that they would be landing in an hour and 15 minutes. It was a 40-minute flight. She found out that she was headed 2,000 kilometers south to Gibraltar instead of 300 kilometers west to Ireland. Well, it became quite a journey, and it took 12 hours for her to get back to where she was supposed to be when it was supposed to take her 40 minutes. You see, Gemma made the mistake of going through the wrong gate, which meant she was inconvenienced, but it wasn't a big deal, and she had a great story to tell. Well, today we're going to hear a warning from Jesus about going through a wrong gate that is not just inconvenient, it's a complete disaster. It's catastrophic, in fact. And the challenge for each one of us is to think about our lives and to think about the direction we're going and where we're headed and where we're going to end up. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. We're at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And by the end, I mean Jesus has come to the point where he is going to give his conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount. It's almost like he has told us that he's given us the teaching, and he says, okay, what are you going to do about it? And this, the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount begins at verse 13. And from 13 to the end of the chapter, Jesus is going to give several illustrations. In verses 13 and 14, he's going to talk about two paths, which we'll be looking at today. Beginning at verse 15, he talks about two trees that represent true and false prophets. In verse 21, he talks about two claims, which talk about true and false disciples. And then he's going to end with talking about two kinds of builders, a wise and a foolish builder. And the whole point of each of these is to challenge us to say, you have heard what I've told you. I've presented my kingdom. What are you going to do about it? So today, let's take a look through these two choices that we have and to think about which choice we are making in our lives. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. There are two commands that Jesus gives in this conclusion to his Sermon on the Mount. The first one is found in verse 13, enter through the narrow gate. The second command is found in verse 15, where he says, watch out for false prophets. It's like he's saying, you need to make a choice to enter into the right gate, and you need to be careful because there will be prophets that are going to be telling you to go a different way. So the two commands at this conclusion is you need to enter. This is the basic choice he's calling us to make, to enter through the narrow gate. Now, the picture that Jesus paints for us is a picture of a bunch of two things. And it's like if this was Sesame Street, today's sermon would be brought to you by the number two. It's like everything is in twos. So in this passage, we have two roads, two gates, two kinds of travelers, and two destinations. And ultimately, you need to make one of two choices as a result of all this. So let me just walk through each of these and to understand the contrast that Jesus is giving us. Let's look at the two roads. Before we get into the details, there are a couple of misunderstandings people have of this passage that I want to just sort of help you think through. You've probably heard of the saying, the straight and narrow. You need to stay on the straight and narrow. Well, that saying is not one that you actually find in the Bible. It comes from the old King James Version, which calls this gate the straight gate, but it's spelled S-T-R-A-I-T. Now, the word straight, we use that to speak about a narrow body of water. I mentioned Gibraltar. There's the Strait of Gibraltar, where the water narrows down before you go into the Mediterranean area. There's the Strait of Magellan. There's a number of straits, right? It's spelled different than the S-T-R-A-G-H-T, where you talk about something that has no curves. So Jesus is not talking about a road that has no curves to it. He's talking about a road that is narrow. But even when we use the word road, another correction that we need to sort of think about is that when we think of road, we think of, you know, Commissioner's Road. You think about this thing with cars going down it, right? But what Jesus is talking about is not like a highway, you know, not like the road in front of your house, which, you know, just has space for two cars to get past, as opposed to the wide road being, you know, the 401. He's talking about a road, a way, a path. The word can be used for a narrow path that you're walking along, like you're going for a hike in the woods and there's just a narrow path. Or it could be a broad path, like the Romans road that, you know, the Romans built, where you could have a crowd going down this road. That's the comparison. So it's a path and a wide one. So that's just to correct some of the misunderstandings we need to have, we can come up with. But first of all, let's think about this broad road. Jesus pictures this broad road as the easy road, the one that the majority takes. Obviously, it's more attractive. It's inviting. You think about it as you know, you're going on a vacation someplace, and you know, if you're driving down to Florida or someplace and you're driving along, and then they have these signs, and the sign says, you know, stop at this place. You need to see this attraction. This is unique. This is special. You've got to come here. Or stop at this store and buy this unique thing, whatever it is. It's either an event or an attraction that's unique and exciting, and it's the place that you need to be. You don't want to miss it. And in the process, you want to buy some expensive, you know, gadget to remind you of it, some souvenir, right, to remind you that you were there. That's sort of the idea of this broad road. It's exciting. It's the place where everybody goes. It's where all the unique things are. The interesting thing about this road is that on this road, few people will ever criticize you. You can believe what you want. You can do what you want, and you're not going to get criticized unless you start accusing somebody on the road of being wrong. Because if you say somebody is wrong, it's wrong to do that. You will be called wrong, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but it doesn't matter because on the broad road, you don't have to make sense, right? Because this is the road that everybody is on and we're all going down that road. The broad road is where everybody is traveling. You don't need to question it. Why would you even consider going any other direction? But Jesus says there is another road, and it's a narrow road. It's one that It's another path that you need to take that is quite different than the broad road. He calls it the narrow road. And it's interesting that the word that Jesus uses for narrow implies in it difficulty. It's not easy. It implies hardship, suffering, trouble. This road is narrow. It's restrictive. It's limiting. Jesus understands that the teaching he's been giving to us in the Sermon on the Mount is not easy. I mean, he's telling us, I'm calling upon you to do something that goes against your natural inclination. He's saying, I'm telling you to love your enemies. Now, wait a second. We resist and fight our enemies. And Jesus says, no, you need to love your enemies. You need to be glad when people mistreat you. Rejoice in persecution. It's like, that doesn't make sense. He says, don't worry about money. In fact, give it away to people that need it. He says, like, that's difficult. That's not easy. And then he says, fast, give up the joy of eating so that you can find a greater joy in God. It's like, it doesn't seem to make sense. It's not the normal way we live. It almost seems like crazy talk. It doesn't sound like any fun. Besides, this narrow road is lonely. He says few find it. The majority are going to be on the broad road and very few on the narrow road. And Jesus doesn't hide the fact that following him is confining. It's restrictive. The narrow road doesn't have the freedom to believe whatever you want. He says this is what you must believe. And if you choose to commit sin, you will face judgment. It's difficult if you refuse to go the way he's calling us to go on. The people on the narrow road, people think in our world, think that the narrow road is too limiting. It's too restrictive. It's too confining. I heard Tony Campolo a number of years ago talking about getting on a plane that was going to Chicago. And he sat down and before the plane took off, started chatting with the guy next to him. And the guy found out this Tony was a Christian, and he said, "Oh yeah," he says, I think there are many different ways to get to heaven, and it really doesn't matter what you believe. You're going to get there one way or another." And Tony turned to him and he says, "You better be thankful that the pilot disagrees with you. There are many different ways to get to Chicago. We're just going to take off and fly, you know, like wherever the wind takes us, we're just going to go and we'll get there eventually." He says, "No. You believe and you're convinced that the pilot has filed a flight plan. He knows how high he's going to go. He knows what direction he's going to go. He's going to make sure he's got enough gas to get there. He's not just going to go wherever. He knows there's only one way he can go. And if he doesn't go that way, he's going to be in trouble. He's either going to run out of gas or he's going to crash into another plane if he's not at the right altitude. And if he doesn't land in the right place, it's going to be a problem." You see, our world is very, very demanding with certain things and very loose with others, and they don't realize that they're not being very consistent in the way they think about it. When I was thinking about that illustration, I thought, I'm going to come up with a new idea for a roller coaster. You know, you're in the car, and you get pulled up on the car, and as it goes over the top, as you come down, the first little dip, the track ends, and then you're free to go wherever you want. Wouldn't that be exciting? It's like, why be restricted to one track? You could, let's have options. I haven't been able to figure out how to get the people to go twice. It's like you can only ride once. Or imagine you're getting on a roller coaster, and as you're, you know, the guy's telling you about getting strapped in, he says, turn number 3 is a little shaky today. But you need to understand, one of the values that we hold to as a company is the value of the freedom of expression. So our repair crew are free to repair things however they feel at the time. And, you know, they're trying some new things, so that turn's a little shaky. And your seatbelt is broken, so just make sure you really hold on tight, you know? Because when you do the flip, you know, make sure you're holding on. You'd say, "I'm out of here." No, I'm expecting that you know exact, that the guys who are repairing it to exact specifications, that everything is tight, it's going to work, it's going to hold on to me, I'm not going to go flying out. We expect that. When you buy a car, you expect that that car was made to exact specifications so that it's going to be safe, it's going to be efficient, it's going to run the way you intended. If you bought a new car and drove off the lot and the whole thing was like, "Wait a second, something's wrong," and you went back and says, "Oh no, we believe in freedom. We don't want to be really restrictive, and it's okay. You'll still get there." It's like, no, we demand specific quality, we demand specific details, we demand restrictions in many things, and yet our world says there are a lot of other things where you're just free to believe whatever you want. It doesn't really matter. Some people think that Jesus should have talked about a third path. You know, there's a broad road and a narrow road, but maybe I'm sort of in between the two. You know, I'm probably on the broad road, but every once in a while I detour over because I go to church, right? So I go on to the narrow path and I enjoy that, and there's some good things there, but I spend most of the week in the broad road, but I do go to the narrow road every once in a while. Jesus doesn't give that as an option. He says you're either on one or the other. It's not like you can just sort of switch back and forth at will and hope that, you know, in the end you end up in the right place. Jesus wants us to be clear that there are two options. He's stuck on two. He doesn't say, he says it's either or, not both and. Right? It's one or the other. You need to choose which road you're going to be on. Which brings us to the second question, and that is, how do you get on each of these roads? Well, he tells us there are two gates. There's a wide gate and a narrow gate. The wide gate is the one that is the default gate that everyone is going on. I sort of think about the wide gate like going to, and I don't know why I'm thinking about Florida today because of the weather, but, the wide gate is like going to Disney World in Florida. If you've ever gone to Disney World, you drive down I-4 and there's an exit for Disney World, and it's like you leave one highway, go on to another highway, and before you know it, you're entering the gate of Disney World. It's like at, 60 miles an hour or whatever it is. Like, whoa, when did that happen? It's like, boom, you're there. It's like everybody's going there. It's like once you've taken the exit, everybody's heading that way. And if you took the wrong exit, it's going to take you 10 minutes to figure out how you get out of there. Because everybody's thinking that you're going to Disney World because that's the bright and that's the cool place to go. But the narrow road is not that simple. And the gate that Jesus says is not obvious. It's not the obvious choice. In fact, at the end of verse 14, Jesus says, few find it. It's almost like you have to look for it. And if you're not noticing, if you're not looking for it, you're not going to find it. It's not going to be obvious. And narrow implies that you can't take a lot with you. It's not like you're carrying your luggage with you. Somebody described the narrow gate sort of like a turnstile. Whether you're British or Canadian. But when you go into like a bus station or you go into a train, a subway, and they've got these, the little things, and you have to go in one person at a time that clicks and you put your ticket in. But only one person at a time. And you can't take your luggage with you because, you have to get through. It's one at a time and you can't take anything with you. It's like going to the, if you get on an airplane, you go through security on an airplane and they say, before you go into this little, go through the little thing to see if you have any metal stuff on you, you have to empty your pockets. You have to put your, if you have a laptop or your phone or your purse, or take all the change out. You have to take your belt off and sometimes take your shoes off, and then you walk through with just the clothes on your back. That's the implication here. It's like a narrow gate. Nothing you can bring, nothing you need to bring, because God is the one who provides everything you need on this narrow road. It's a road where there's nothing you can offer. It's not like you can buy your way into it. You just choose to enter into this narrow gate. Do you remember when Jesus started this Sermon on the Mount? One of the first Beatitudes he gives, blessed are the poor in spirit, the ones who are spiritually bankrupt, the ones who have nothing to offer. They have nothing to bring to God and say, God, look how good I am. Say, no, the ones who recognize that they're spiritually dead because of their sin, that their only hope is to come to God as the one who can give them life, the one who can provide what they need. And Jesus says you need to make the choice to enter the narrow gate. It's not the default. It's not natural. It's the normal choice is just to stay on the broad road that takes you to the broad path that takes you to another place. Everyone is on that. That's the comfortable choice. That's the logical choice. That's the simple choice. Do you remember when Jesus spoke about a gate in another passage? In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I wonder if the disciples, hearing that, thought about the gate. And it's not clear which one, I'm not sure which one came first. But I can imagine the disciples, if they heard Jesus mention both of those, oh yeah, the narrow gate. Jesus is the gate. The image is different in John chapter 10. But the image is so powerful that the only way you can get through to life, which is what the gate leads to, is through Jesus. He is the only way to enter. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, has life, except through me. It's only through Jesus. He is the gate that lets us onto the narrow road that takes us to eternal life. So we have two roads, two gates, and then he talks about two kinds of travelers. The people on the broad road are the majority. These are the people, this is the right way, and everybody agrees that this is the right way, and we're all on this broad road, and it's the Canadian way, right? Here in Canada, if you need to think about things in a certain way, our government says, our government redefines marriage, says this is what we believe marriage is now, and that's what the majority thinks, so that's what it is here in Canada. Our government is trying to change what we believe and trying to force us to think about sexuality and gender in a new specific way that's totally different than history. And they're saying, look, the majority agrees. This is the reality now in Canada. Here in Canada, we have no laws for abortion, for killing the unborn, because the majority agrees that we don't need any laws and it's okay to do it. But it's okay because this is what the majority agrees. In fact, Prime Minister Trudeau has made it very clear that if you disagree with his view of the majority in these issues, you are un-Canadian. These are Canadian values now that everybody needs to hold to, right? That's the broad road, and the pressure is on. You need to conform, or you are just un-Canadian. The narrow road is difficult. To be a traveler on the narrow road is not easy. And if you disagree with the majority, you're wrong. So don't assume the majority is right. You know, polling numbers cannot change reality. Can you imagine if we held a referendum in Canada to say, okay, from now on, 2 + 2 is going to equal 6. Let's take a vote. Everybody, 95% of Canadians agreed 2 + 2 = 6. Does that change reality? No. It's still 2 + 2 = 4, regardless of how many people choose for it. So don't assume that just because the majority believe in it, everybody believes in it, and it must be true. No, not necessarily. Because reality cannot be changed by a vote. You know, God even warned the Israelites back in Moses' time, like, you know, 1600 years before Jesus' time. He warned the Israelites the danger of letting the crowd determine what you believe. In Exodus 23, verse 2, he says, "Do not join a crowd that intends to do evil. When you are on the witness stand, do not be swayed in your testimony by the opinion of the majority, because the majority can be wrong." So the narrow road is not followed by the crowd. In fact, Jesus says, when you compare the travelers on these two roads, the narrow road seems to be the minority. Few there are on there. The majority are on the broad road. Which leads to an interesting question. Like, so how many people are going to be in heaven? It's like, is it going to be just a few thousand? Is it just going to be a small group? Or, well, you know, there are 8 billion people on the earth right now. So a few could be, you know, 1 or 2 billion out of 8. But when you realize that somebody calculated, and I don't know how they did this, but somebody calculated there are probably 113 billion people that have lived on our earth, you know, throughout the history of our earth. So few could be 20 to 30 billion. That's still a huge number. In fact, that's why in John, when John sees the vision of the future in the book of Revelation, he sees a vast multitude that no one can number. Like, you can't even count the number of people. So there's still, it is few in relative to the number, but it's still quite a few people. So we have two roads, two gates, two kinds of travelers. Now let's look at what's really important is what are the two destinations that these roads lead to. Now, if you ask anybody who is on the broad road, where is this road going to take you? Their answer may be, well, nobody knows for sure, but I'm sure it's going to be great. I mean, I'm really looking forward to having a great time with my buddies, and we're going to have a big party, and it's going to be great. Just go to any funeral and listen to the conversations, you know, and regardless of what the person was, it's like, oh yeah, it's, you know, I'm sure he's having a great time. Because they all assume that the road is going to take you to someplace wonderful. In fact, the broad road is even advertised. This is the place that'll take you to real life and take you to some wonderful place. But Jesus makes it very clear that there are two very different destinations. He says the one, the narrow road, leads to life. And by life, he clearly implies life with him in heaven. The other road leads to death or destruction, which he describes in other places as hell, a place of suffering and torture and torment. It's life and destruction. There is no third option where some never land, or some nirvana where it's just like we just sort of, you know, live in some la-la land, or, you know, or just disappear. He says, no, it's either life or it's destruction. And the difficult thing is to be able to understand that as you're going down this road, that it will lead to destruction on the broad road. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, the Proverbs has a verse that is stated twice. It's almost like Solomon didn't want us to miss it. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. The verse is also stated in chapter 16. Let me read that one for you. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Solomon is saying there's a way. There's a way that looks like it's the right way. It appears to be the normal way. It appears to be the way everybody should be on. He says it ends in death. You need to be careful. There are two ways. And if you think about these two ends, on the one hand, you have somebody on the broad road. It feels easy. It looks right. It's like that's where the crowd is. This has got to be the right road. But the road gives way and destruction hits. Sort of imagine, you know, we saw pictures of the floods out in BC and how, you know, the floods were coming, just washing away the roads. And sometimes, you know, cars were coming over a bridge and then the whole bridge just collapses. These people least expecting, I mean, they're going on this solid road. It seems like the right place. And all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. And some of them even died. That's the image that Jesus is giving us here. It appears to be right. It feels right. It seems solid. But then the end comes. And when the end comes, it's too late to say, oh, missed it. I'm going to turn around, get the next exit and go back. No, Jesus says the end comes and it's over. On the other hand, this narrow road finds it's a difficult journey. It isn't easy. It isn't the one that everybody is on. It isn't the one that is delightful to journey on. It doesn't have all the beauty and the attraction of the broad road. And it's tough because we have to fight when we face temptation. The crowd doesn't like us. We have to learn to turn the other cheek, forgive our enemies, live our lives in service to others. And yet the narrow road can still be journeyed with a sense of joy because we know we have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who cares for us, who meets our needs on this road, who tells us not to worry about what we eat or what we're going to wear because your Father loves you and He will take care of you. So there's a sense of joy on this journey. And we know that when we come to the end of the journey, it's going to be amazing. And it's like, so the one road seems easy, it seems right, and then it ends in destruction. The other road is narrow, it's difficult, it's hard. But we know that at one point, it may be one step, it may be one turn, and then the end comes. And we open up our eyes and we see glory. We see the future. We see what God has prepared for us. And we're sitting there saying, amazing. Like we won't even think about the difficulty of the journey because the end will be so amazing and so wonderful. Life the way God intended it to be. Now we've covered the point of the illustration. Now the question remaining is, are you hearing Jesus' words as a warning or as an encouragement? There are two options. It's a warning or encouragement unless you haven't been listening. Because the warning is that if you are on the broad road, the warning is it's headed for destruction. And what are you going to do about it? Are you going to find the narrow road? Are you going to find Jesus to be the gate that you need to enter through? You need to find a different path. You need to commit your life to following Jesus as the one that will take you to life eternal. Or are you going to stay on the broad road and say, I don't have to worry about that? It's a warning. It's a serious warning. It's an important warning. In fact, in Luke chapter 13, Jesus gives a similar illustration with slightly different picture. But listen to his words in Luke 13, verse 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter in and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you came from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you. You taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you and where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. Do you realize that you could be coming to church every single Sunday? You could be participating in a small group. You could be giving your money to good causes. And you could be on the broad road headed for destruction. You need to make sure that you have entered on the narrow way through Jesus as the gate. It's only through faith in him that gives you life. And you need to choose that path. For those of you that are on the narrow road. So that's the warning. That's the warning if you're on the broad road. But there's an encouragement for those of us that know that we're on the narrow road. It is difficult. It isn't easy. But the encouragement is that in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the challenges, in spite of the frustration it can be at times, in spite of the fact that the majority, you're going against the majority, you know that one day you're going to come to the point where you're going to recognize you made the right choice and you're going to be in eternity. And you're not even going to think about how difficult it might have been. It's like in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, there's a long list of people that lived by faith. And a lot of people on that list suffered and went through all kinds of difficulty. I mean, Abraham and Noah and Joshua and all these people that struggled. And some of them, it even says at the end, some of them lost their lives and they were persecuted and they were tortured and they were sawn in two. It was a horrible life. But these people, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, they were looking for a better city. They knew that staying on the narrow road was going to take them to the destination that they wanted to go to. So they were saying, I'm willing to go through whatever it takes because I know that this road is leading me on the right path. So the challenge for you is make sure you choose the right path. Make sure that you're not just going with the default and going through the broad gate the same way everybody's going, but you're saying, no, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to choose to put my faith in him. And make sure that I'm on the path that leads to life. Let's pray. Father, help us to hear the words of Jesus. We realize that some people are going to hear them as a warning. And I pray that today you would convict us to make sure we know which path we're on. To make sure we understand that we need to come to Christ by faith, believing that he is the way, the only way, the truth, and the life. And that he is the gate and through him we can experience true life. Seems like such a simple illustration. And yet, Father, we need to respond so clearly to it. And for those of us that have been on that journey for quite some time, it's been difficult. It's been frustrating, especially the last couple of years. But encourage us, Father, to understand and to be reminded that this is the right path. And in spite of the difficulties, we know that in the end, we will be in eternity with you, enjoying life the way you intended it to be. So, Father, help us to encourage one another as we go through life's journey and to learn to trust in you day by day. And help us to reach out to those around us like we've been challenged today, like what's going to happen up in Hensel. Father, may you just help us to care for those around us, to share the good news with them, so they too can find that narrow road that leads to life. In Jesus' name, amen.